Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
She chose money over her relationship. Now she's regretting it.
I feel really bad for my dude in the situation that he's now in. And I partially blame myself, too, because I was the person who actually set these two up in thinking that they were, like, perfect for each other. And now I understand what Kristen always goes through with trying to set people up, because I failed miserably.
Okay. Did they at least have some kind of relationship before it failed?
So that's the thing. In my defense, I didn't really know her. I just knew that he was very attracted to her and he was afraid to make the move. So I inspired the actual meeting to happen.
All right.
That's
so
all I did.
I think that's very different than Kristen sucking at this.
That's true, because she actually knows the people.
Right.
So I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So I will take credit for the fact that I did that part. And it was going really, really well at first. It was like a really heavy, hot 4 months of a relationship. And it got a little tricky around the time where he did some work for her, which I had mentioned, Bert, I think you were out that day. But he DJs. So she wanted him to DJ one of her events. And I remember him coming to me and saying, listen, we've been dating for 4 months. She wants me to DJ her event. I don't feel like I should charge her. What do you think? And I was like, I don't think you should charge her either. I am not from the world where you charge your significant other to do something for them. It's just always been a one hand washes the other for me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't charge her. He doesn't think anything of it. He moves on. And then it gets to the point where the drama starts to happen, because then in turn, now it's important to note, he did not ask her for this service. He just made it known that he needed this service, which happens to be what she does for a living, because he needed a deck, which is something that you use in order to sell like a show or something that you're producing.
You present it to somebody going, look, this is what we're all about. It's a presentation.
Exactly. Right. An internal resume, if you will, like an online resume. And so she's like, well, I do that. And he's like, well, I know that, but I didn't want to ask, you know, but if you want to do it, I'll take it. She says, cool. She spends a lot of time on it. And apparently she would have normally charged about $3,500 for this service.
But they're going out.
But they're going out, right? Yeah. So he comes to me and he's like, you know, do you think I should give her anything? And I said, you should do something really nice for her. But to me, if you're in a relationship, that's fair. That's right. A fair trade-off. Well, she didn't see it that way.
And did you say that he did something for her before?
He did.
Okay.
He DJed like a party for her.
So it's kind of established. And did he charge her for that?
No, he didn't.
All right. So it's kind of established. Like, we're going out with each other. It's been 4 or 5 months. I'm doing this for you because I care for you. And you're going to do this for me because you care for me. And that's all good.
That's what we thought.
Yep.
Then he was driving down the road and he reached out to her to ask if she had her stuff together for a trip that they were initially going to take, which he was going to pay for. That was kind of his way of saying thank you. He was going to get her a ticket and pay for her stay to go on this mini vacation. But she said, okay, that's great. I appreciate that. Thank you for doing that. At the same time, you should probably check your email first.
Okay.
Oh, man. And then when he went to check the email, that's when he saw that she sent him a $1,900 invoice for her services.
Well, she gave him a nice discount. She said normally it would be $3,500.
She even said that she knocked 8% off if he didn't pay with credit card and he paid with cash. So that was also really nice
8%?
Of her.
8%?
Yeah, she knocked a whole 8%
off. Not even 10%?
No.
So was she sending this to him just to show him how much of a break he was getting, or this was the actual invoice? No. Like, you need to pay me.
This was an actual invoice.
Oh, no.
And she was expecting to be paid within the week. I believe she gave a deadline. I mean, the whole nine. She treated him like a complete client. So at that point, he came to me for advice, and I told him, to me, if I'm in your shoes, you just distinguish the difference between me being your man and your client.
Mm-hmm.
If I was your man, I don't feel like that invoice would have found its way to my email.
I agree.
Well, it also could have been established right from the start. Like, if she was going to charge him, she would say something right from the start. Like, I can do this for you, but it's going to cost me a lot of my time, so I'm going to charge you blank for it. She didn't do any of that.
So her move was, we'll discuss finances later. That's how she got him. And I guess in his mind, it was like, yeah, what finances? But no, she meant that. And so she came back. And now she gets to set the market, because I haven't discussed an actual price.
Okay.
So that was her market. So at that point, He needed a break. He took about a week off from just talking to her, period, and they did not reach out to each other, which was like that awkward phase of, are you going to reach out first? Am I going to reach out first? He felt like he was in the right. She felt like she was in the right. So at the point where they decided, okay, we have to talk, like we have to figure this out. My dude came to me and asked me what did I think he should do. And then when we spoke about it on the show, you guys agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I think you should send her an invoice. I think at this mm-hmm. point, you did a service first. You didn't charge her because you thought y'all were in a relationship. Clearly, you're not.
Would it be for $1,901?
That's what he should have did. Yeah. But I think he sent her an invoice for $1,500, right?
And but she can get 8% off.
if you pay with cash. She just diverted. Like, she kept finding a way to talk about something else in the relationship that was wrong, but she never addressed the invoice. And her perspective was, if you did feel a way that I sent you the invoice, then you should have reached out and said that to me. You instead of just taking it and going on with it like nothing happened, mm-hmm. why not reach out? And he felt like there was nothing to talk about. At that point, you established that I was your client.
Uh-huh.
I'm not your man. To him, the relationship was over. And that was the end of it. It was like, once I send you this money, I'm your client now.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the end of it.
Huh. I don't think it had to be. I just think if there was more honesty in the beginning, you could say like, hey, this is business and this is going to take a lot of time and it's going to take me away from my other projects. If that's said right from the start, mm-hmm. then it's all good. But it didn't have to end like this.
So that's where I saw that he was torn, and I felt for him because it was in that moment I realized, man, he really liked her. Like it was genuinely bothering him mm-hmm. that he felt like the relationship was really going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And for him, he just couldn't get past it. He still can't get past it. He just feels like once you did that, he'll never look at her the same.
I don't blame him, because to me, the infraction here is the shadiness that she had when she offered her services. Like, oh, no, we'll talk about it later. Like, no, like, kindness is being communicative about what you want or what you need. And if she needed to get paid, then she should have been upfront about that.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
So relationship done, over, history now.
She is trying to find a way to fix it, but he's just not trying to hear it. He feels like he's done. He's ready to move on.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
The Burt Show.
All right, so I made the challenge to you guys, and the phones are still open, 1-855-VIRTUAL. I want to call this thing Man Up Day. I have heard this far too long, where we have women on with us that are so frustrated that their man won't stand up for themselves in different situations. Now, it could be with a boss, it could be with his mom, what have you. So I wanted to set today, what is it, the 4th?
The 4th.
Yep.
Man Up Day, where you go to your man and you're like, today is the day you're doing, I am putting my foot down. You go have some nerds and get this done, okay? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Carly, you want to participate for your man Up Day. What do you got?
So I'm so fed up with my mother-in-law. She's been disrespecting me for like 5 years at this point, and I'm so done.
Yeah, this is the one that I thought for sure we would get here, because this is the one we get more often than anything else. All right, so in which ways has she been sort of disrespecting you?
So every time that me and my husband are around her, she just finds a way to just tear me down, like especially when it comes to parenting our child. And the worst part of it is, my husband just sits there in silence.
Mm-hmm. What would you prefer him to do? How you want him to handle it?
I want him to just, like, stand up for me. Like, is that so much to ask? Like, she's constantly criticizing everything I do. Like, if I let our son cry for just even a second or whatever, like, I'm neglectful in her eyes. And if I pick him up too quickly, I'm spoiling him. And if I follow our pediatrician's advice, like, instead of following her advice, her outdated methods, I'm being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think he hasn't stood up for you? Like, is he a mama's boy? Is he just kind of a wussy? Like, what's his problem?
As a general rule, is he a big wuss?
I mean, you married him. You would know.
I mean, pretty much at this point, I'm starting to think so, because I'm starting to feel like he favors his mother over me.
Is that a yes to the wuss or the mama's boy?
Maybe both.
Clarification.
Maybe both. Yes. Yes to both. Now, is he seeing this like, have you brought, I'm sure you brought this up to him before, but you know us guys. Oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, you're overreacting. So he knows this is happening and he sees it.
Yeah, he's always in the room whenever this is going on, and he just kind of just watches.
But does he see it as badly as you do? Like, he's like, oh, she shouldn't have said that.
I mean, there was a time where my mother-in-law literally took my son out of my arms and she said, come on, Grandma. Mommy doesn't know what she's doing. And my husband, he just watched it. Like, it's happening in front of him. It's not like I'm telling him what's happening.
Yeah, and at some point, I really do think, like, in these relationships, you start to lose respect for your significant other. First, you feel disrespected because he's not standing up for you. And then, I mean, everybody wants somebody with a backbone. Yeah. And if he's proving time and time again that he doesn't have one, it's a real turnoff.
Well, if you can't stand up to your mom, who can you stand up to? So if it's not happening at home, I'm just picturing you going to work and just being like, whatever, I want everything to be okay. Everybody can do what they want. Yeah. It's a big turnoff.
Sometimes I think maybe the man really doesn't get it or see it, but that example she just gave, that's pretty clear.
That's pretty blatant. Okay, so what's the game plan going into Man Up Night tonight? What are you going to say to him?
Well, I just want him to man up and put his mother in her place. Like, I've held my tongue for so long. I've tried to be the bigger person, but I'm so done at this point.
All right, so you have to say to him, I don't know what the last infraction was, but you have to say to him, like, hey, this has been sitting, because he's not even going to know the words to use, right? Call mom up and say, hey, this has been sitting with me for a while now. I got to talk to you about blank. And my wife Carly is really feeling disrespected by the way you are treating her around our kids. And mom, it's got to stop. Yeah, I mean, you've got to give him the words, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because at this point, like, it's might as well, like, he might not even be in the room.
Okay.
Here's what you got to do. You got to get him to teleprompter.com. You need to put out the script, put it in front of him, put him on a nice slow timer. So all he has to do is read out the exact script. And then if you have to, you can buy him a pair of balls off of Amazon.
At the point where you do all of that, he is indeed not manning up.
Yeah. Can you have, like, cue cards like they do on Saturday Night Live?
I think a teleprompter will suffice.
A teleprompter.
Hold his hand.
All right, Carly, good luck today. Let us know tomorrow if he actually did it and how it went with his mom, okay?
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, it's Man Up Day on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Comedian Michael Rowland nailed it when it comes to people who live OTP, ITP, and those who claim Atlanta as where they are from. So I saw this on at Georgia Followers Official, and I think there's a lot of people, OTP, who like to claim Atlanta as where they're from.
Sure.
But they might be embellishing just a little bit.
Okay.
I'm from Atlanta, baby. F*** y'all. From the city. I'm from a cool city, but I'm from the suburbs, which is not cool. Nobody respects it when you're from the suburbs of a cool city. Nobody. It takes your coolness, it turns your way down. And when I'm back in Atlanta with my friends, we'll be doing stuff inside the city. I'm like, yeah, ATL, we're doing it. And they're just like, shut the up, Mike. You're from the suburbs. I'm like, I'm 10 miles further down the highway. Can I just have this? Can I just have it? But now I'm in New York and people go, Mike, where are you from? I go, Atlanta. They go, that's cool, brother, and it ends right there, and I'm like, yes, it is cool, thank you. But then sometimes you have this interaction where you meet somebody else from your city, and initially you're excited, you're stoked, you're like, you're from Atlanta? They're like, yeah. And then they're like, you're from Atlanta? I'm like, brother, hell yeah. And then they're like, what part? Come on, man, we were having fun, dude. We're having a good time before you brought specific locations into this, big dog.
It's true, like Milledgeville.
Yeah,
you're from Atlanta.
I'm from Atlanta.
Sure. But, like, think about, like, location. Like, if you live in Sandy Springs, do you tell people Sandy Springs or do you say Atlanta?
That aren't from here?
Yeah.
Atlanta.
I say Sandy Springs.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go, where's that?
And then I go, Atlanta.
Yeah, it comes full circle.
Yeah.
All right, Messy Mikey, your surprise party at Costco.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the best ideas that someone has had in a long time. I'm known to have weird birthday parties. I like a weird setting. I've had, as a kid, I had a birthday party at a hotel, at a birthday party in the woods. But this one actually takes the cake.
The birthday cake?
The birthday cake.
Hey. Sorry.
So I guess they found this idea off of TikTok, but my cousin Maggie and I think my cousin's wife, they got together, they put their heads together, they made a group chat, they said, on this day, we're going to meet at this Costco, and we're going to surprise your cousin Max for his birthday at Costco. Costco surprise birthday party. You ever heard of such a thing?
Yeah, because I saw the viral video of the guy who went to Costco.
Now, Dang. Do you have to have a membership in order to be part of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can get in. I think you can get in one person with yourself, like one guest.
Really? You have plus ones with your Costco?
Yeah. And so we just had to like split people with cards, people without cards. A little bit of a mess there, but we all got in that Costco. But then there's a twist. I don't know if this is the part of the viral thing, but we're all sitting in the food court, but then one at a time, you go and you track down the person that you're surprising, and you just, like, bump into them. And you're like, wait, what are you doing? I just saw your mom down that other hall. And you're like, what? My mom's here? Yeah, you just keep on running into them until eventually they make it back around to the food court.
Surprise!
This part I didn't see coming. I didn't know we were doing this. Everybody stood up. We got about 15 people in that food court. And they sang happy birthday.
Okay.
And it's like a public engagement times 15. Like it was, the whole Costco went silent just staring at this family having a birthday party in the Costco. But it was nice. He was a little overwhelmed. It's a lot to take in all at once when you thought you were just going to Costco to get some chips. But Costco birthday party, it's a way to go.
I have never been inside of a Costco.
You haven't?
Oh, really?
Never. You are missing out. It is an interesting landscape. One, you get $1.50 hot dogs. I think cost $1.50,
yep,
right?
Exactly.
And they will not raise the prices.
Everybody raves about the hot dogs. What's the difference in there? And by the way, I'm not being an elitist. I just have never had a membership there, so I didn't think I could get in.
You can't. They'll literally kick you out.
Oh, you can't?
Yeah,
okay.
It is the hardest club to get into. You can't, unless you have to get a membership in order to go. But also, I'd say primarily families go because you buy in bulk. And so that's why, especially after once we had Jimmy, we were like, oh, we're getting a Costco membership because the Kirkland's diapers are the best. The Kirkland's wipes are the best. Like, that's where we went to get all that kind of stuff.
And if you buy it in bulk, it's clearly cheaper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'll tell you this, the samples, that's my whole reason for going. You walk around, there's samples everywhere. Yesterday, I was eating mini pancakes, drinking coconut water. They'll just give you whatever you want.
And I didn't even know that there was a food court in there. I just assumed there was one hot dog dude because I always hear about the hot dogs.
No, you haven't.
The pizza you're eating too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good pizza. $3.50 for a slice of pizza, but the slice of pizza is like a half a pizza. But hot dog, $1.50 plus a drink. 75-cent hot dog, really. You can't beat this place, I'm telling you.
The fondness of Costco to me is fascinating. Can I go with one of you guys one day?
Absolutely.
I would just really like to experience it.
And it's more than just food. So, you know, you walk in and there's like these giant tables of clothes, right?
Oh, the clothes. Yeah. I just bought 2 outfits from there yesterday.
They have clothes at Costco?
Oh, God. Kenneth Cole. I bought Adidas and Puma outfits yesterday.
Yeah, is it essentially a Walmart with a membership?
Oh, no.
Why you say it like that?
Yeah.
No.
Somewhat. It's so much better than Walmart.
So
I agree.
Better.
It's better than Walmart, but that's what it is. So, well, Walmart's Sam's Club, right? So you have your Sam's Club and you have to have a membership there. And so, you know, Costco and Sam's Club, they, you know, I'm not saying they're beefing in the streets,
okay,
but our preference is Costco.
Beefing in the food court.
But yeah, I mean, like you have this giant refrigerated area for all your produce. So, and, you know, the freezer section as far as the meats and stuff like that. And then you can buy like these giant containers of condiments and but yeah, so there's clothes and there's flat screen TVs and there's like literally you name it, you can get
food.
It there.
I bought a chicken pot pie from there yesterday for dinner.
Everything you want. By the way, can I tell you what I got yesterday? I got this steak stuff that's so good.
Steak stuff. What is steak stuff?
It's already cooked. It's just steak stuff. I don't know. It's already cooked. I just open it up and I eat it cold, and it is so good. I got chicken kebabs, and they sell this bag of Doritos that is like as big as your chest.
Hmm?
What? You're not hip hip hooraying?
Are you not entertained?
Let's speak Bert language. They have health food. So they have a bag of cauliflower fried rice that's like this big and it's delicious.
And it would take you a year to eat that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the point of it.
That's the beauty of it.
Okay. So can you go in there just and have one meal?
I can't because I'm not allowed. I'm not a member.
How did you get in? Who was your...
My aunt. I had to pretend to be her son.
It sounds like a fascinating, enchanted place.
It is.
You can get a Tempur-Pedic mattress from there.
Really?
I got my Love Sack sofa from there and saved like $2,000.
How much is a membership?
Oh, like I don't know. $60 a year or something.
That sounds like nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
Okay. All right, first Costco and then Bucky's. I keep still seeing that Bucky's sign, man. I went to, I had to be up by Lake Allatoona a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the Bucky's sign. It was only 27 miles away compared to what Tommy does, which is a 40-mile trip to Bucky's. And I'm like, there is no way I am traveling 27 miles for food.
Nah, I would never. I only stopped by Bucky's because it was literally right there.
It's going to have to be on my way somewhere.
Yep.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
So you guys know we had this policy of not talking politics on the Burt Show. So while we're not going to be talking politics, we are going to be talking budget. All right. Everybody has heard the word tariffs over the course of the last couple of weeks. There have been a lot of people panicking about it. There's been a lot of misinformation about tariffs. And the reason why I wanted to get an expert on to talk about it is that if it does indeed happen, it is going to affect every American. But how much? You know, you get into your algorithm and, you know, the country is on fire on one algorithm and the other. It's like, hey, this is really good for our country. I don't want to argue any of that. I just want to see what this really means for all of us. Now, we caught a little bit of a break here because the president said that he was going to institute 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. And everybody's freaking out, including Canada and Mexico, because it was going to affect their economies also. And just yesterday, Canada and Mexico is like, okay, hey, Mr. Trump, can we just have 30 days to talk about this? And Trump said, yeah, that's cool. Let's take 30 days. So that's not going to happen. However, China, he's a little more hardcore on that. China now, he is going to be instituting a 10% tariff on Chinese goods. Who is going to pay that and how is that going to affect you guys? So Vivian Yu from Emory, she is a professor of economics at Emory University. So much smarter than any one of us.
Yeah, I didn't do well in that course.
Yeah, I dropped macroeconomics multiple times.
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
It's not even going to be close. Right? Hi, Vivian. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad you joined us today. I guess what I'm looking for here is just the basics. Like, I don't think people know who pays the tariffs. I think a lot of people think the country that you put the tariff on, that's where the money is going. What is a tariff and how will it affect us in what areas? I think that's what we got to stick to.
Sure. Yes. So as we already heard, the tariff is targeted on imports from, you know, we talk about Mexico, Canada, and China, although the tariff on Mexico and Canada will be paused by 1 month. But even though it sounds like it's targeted on foreign companies, foreign goods, actually it is the American business who are importing these goods are paying for tariffs. And then eventually this cost will be passed on to American consumers.
Okay, so it's not like we go to China and we go, yo, China, we are slapping you with a 10% tax. This is paid by the folks that are importing all of that. And then they would deliver it to like a Walmart, right? And then Walmart has to make the decision. Look, if this is going to go up 10%, then we got to go ahead and we have to institute this 10% raise on all of our consumers, correct?
Yes, exactly. So the business will have three choices. One, yes, if Walmart say all the goods I import from China are additional 10% more expensive, I will eat that cost and keep the price I put on my shelf unchanged, but that will hurt the profit margin for the business.
Okay.
So the second choice is exactly what you said, right? And then I have to raise the price on my final goods and the American consumers will then have to pay for that.
The end game, Vivian, for a tariff, like when the president says that I'm instituting these tariffs, what is it supposed to accomplish?
As we already saw yesterday, it will add pressure onto other countries. So that is one. The other one is, I think, as we know from the President Trump's agenda, right, to bring manufactured jobs back to the U.S. So, okay, so maybe we don't import all these auto parts from Mexico and Canada and all these goods from China, and then we want to produce in America. Although that it will be a goal that potentially can be achieved, but that is a very complicated thing to achieve because a lot of other American business will rely on these imported goods and it takes time to find alternatives.
I see. So at the end of the day, if I'm listening and this tariff sticks with China, again, Mexico and Canada, this pause for 30 days, if it's just China, what are the goods I'm probably going to have to pay more money for?
Well, we talk about all these goods we see in Walmart. And also, I want to clarify, this is additional 10% tariff on whatever we are already collecting from China.
So what are the actual items that we would be hit on? Like, if I go today, what am I going to see, or tomorrow when these tariffs start? What are the items that are going to be, like, a little bit more expensive for me as an American?
iPhones, right? iPhones, a lot of auto parts, and also some of the assemblies are made in China. And toys, shoes, some clothes items, all these will be imported from China that will become more expensive. And another thing is, a company may find alternatives, and Chinese companies may also start to set up the business in other countries to reduce the final cost on their exports to the U.S. But again, that will take time.
Okay. We only have about 60 seconds left. So just historically, when we're looking at tariffs, Vivian, have they worked in our country before? Have they tried it before and it was really successful, or it wasn't successful?
In the late 19th century, there were some tariffs collected, and also before Great Depression, all the protectionism around the globe. So, and we know the outcome. I say the successful tariff will be imposed strategically on some key industry. That would be successful. But on top of my mind right now, I don't have specific example.
Okay. I sure appreciate your input on this thing. I think we're all so confused about it. But we did catch a break, like we said in the very beginning here, where Canada and Mexico and the president sat down and said, okay, you guys, 30 days. We'll figure this whole thing out. But with China, again, it's going to be a 10%er. All right, Vivian, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's get into the entertainment buzz.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I feel like if we were going to keep a running list of all of the reboots and remakes that are happening in the entertainment industry, it would be just about as long as a CVS receipt. I feel like every week a new reboot is announced, and there's another one all about a late 90s, early 2000s teen drama, because Buffy the Vampire Slayer is making a comeback. So a pilot is getting ordered at Hulu, and it is not going to star Sarah Michelle Gellar, who was the star of the series before, but she is going to be a recurring guest star. So there will be a new Slayer in town. Perhaps her name will be Muffy this time around. Muffy the Vampire Slayer.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be Muffy.
Yeah,
I'm very certain it's not going to
be Tuffy. Tuffy the
maybe, but not Muffy.
It'll Fluffy. Be Tuffy before Muffy.
Yes.
Fluffy.
Is that something you're excited about?
No.
No.
But I know that a lot of other women are, and I know it was very successful because it was one of the biggest teen dramas in the late 90s. I was a baby, so.
Oh my God. I'm anyone my age who saw Spike was my first huge bad boy crush. James Marsden, I think it is. And then Angel, David Boreanaz. And Sarah Michelle Gellar, to this day, if she is in a TV show, I will watch it. And if she and Freddie Prinze Jr. ever get divorced, that is the one celebrity couple that I would actually cry over. I love her. So this coming back is actually a huge deal. And this show was pivotal in the lives of so many millennials.
Yeah, and I could imagine that if, like, for example, The Vampire Diaries, which was more of my generation, made a comeback in like 10 or 15 years, I would be enthused about it to no extent, because I loved those, the brothers, the vampire brothers, Stefan and Damon, and they were fighting over Elena. So if it was anything like that, I know people are going to be really pumped to see it. All right, Jelly Roll, he hosted a benefit concert. God, this is terrible. Terrible words. Jelly Roll.
You don't need him for this job. Don't sweat.
Yeah, no, really. I'm so good at my job today. Jelly Roll hosted a free benefit concert for the LA firefighters and the first responders. This all took place at the Rose Bowl Stadium. He had Lainey Wilson, Marshmello, Public Enemy, Shinedown, and Nate Smith all join him. Wow. About 16,000 people were in attendance, so this was a huge deal. So many of the people there were primarily firefighters and also first responders, along with their families, and 1,000 of incarcerated anniversary of firefighters. So it was a great night to be able to honor all the people that have been fighting all of those terrible wildfires out in LA.
I think he's slowly working his way up to like most likable celebrity status.
He is.
He is, right? He just seems to do everything right. You know, this dude has already lost 120 pounds.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, he's moving.
He
man.
Said, I think that he had a goal to be on the cover of Men's Health in 2026 and has already taken 120 something pounds off.
Nice. I love that he put it out publicly because when it does eventually happen, like this time next year, I think he said like March of 2026, he wants to be on the cover. It is going to be so inspirational for so many people that look like him at his, you know, at his heaviest weight or maybe the weight he's at now. And maybe you think it's just not possible. It's too difficult. And then you see somebody who has, you know, a busy celebrity schedule like Jelly Roll, who's putting on these big stadium sized concerts and looking at him and going, you know what? If he was confident enough that he could do it in XYZ amount of time, maybe I can take that first step to making a better life for myself.
And what I like about him too is I watched one of the videos where he was talking about this and he was just going on a walk. He was just going on a walk, pushing himself. And I think when you look at celebs and weight loss, they have trainers, they have chefs, they have dietitians, they have all the time in the world. I always hate when people are like, you have the same amount of time in the day as Beyonce. Technically, sure, but she's got a staff, TM. So, but the fact that he was just walking, like that's something everyone can do. And I think it is inspirational like that.
I still think people are going to discredit it right off the bat. Oh, how much Ozempic did he use? So just stop. I mean, give the guy a break.
Let the man live his life.
All right, Travis Kelce got very coy when he was asked if he will propose to Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl. Are they both getting rings next Sunday? It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.